Meeting of House Fisheries Committee will come to order at 10:06 a.m. in room 120. Today is Thursday, February 12, 2015. Members present are Representative Heron, Representative Christ Tompkins, Representative Johnson, and myself, Chair Stutes. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business, and I respectfully ask everyone to turn their cell phones off. We are also joined by Kelly Burnett from House Records, Cody Grusendorf from the LIO, and we were joined by Reed. Oh, there he is, Reed, my Fisheries Committee aide, Reed Harris. Thank you. Thank you. Today we have one bill on the agenda, House Bill 41, an act relating to sport fishing services, sport fishing operators, and sport fishing guides, and providing for an effective date. Presenting are the sponsors, Representative Tilton, and doesn't look like Representative Munoz is here, and their staff, Heath Hilliard and Crystal Kahneman. Great. Members have a draft proposed committee substitute 29-LS0238 version 8 in their packets. May I have a motion to adopt the CS as a working document?
I'm Chairman, we adopt the CS as a working document, and I don't have that number in front of me.
Oh, right here.
I bet she's got it.
Right here.
29LS0238/H.
Thank you. I will object for purposes of discussion. Please explain the changes from the original bill. Please come up and identify yourself for the record. And then explain the changes from the original bill, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Representative Stutes, Chair Stutes, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kathy Tilton, and I am co-priming this with Representative Kathy Munoz, and we appreciate the committee hearing our bill. I am going to turn this over to staff members, the very capable staff members, Heath Hilliard and Crystal Kahneman, to explain the changes. I just wanted to thank the committee for hearing the bill.
Thank you. Please identify yourselves for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Heath Hilliard, staff to Representative Kathy Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Crystal Kahneman, staff to Representative Munoz, and she does offer her apologies for not being here today.
Thank you. Please proceed.
All right, so the explanation of changes to the H version, we have a very long, complicated, very contentious issue. Actually, not at all, really. If you turn to, I believe it's the last page, the last page, page 10, the only difference between the original introduced version and the H version are the effective date changes found sections 12 through 16, lines 25 through 30. The original version proposed an original effective date of January 1, 2015. And based on input from the department, we changed that to January 1, 2016. The department had already been starting to offer provisional permits in the absence of the original licensure, and they thought that it would create confusion among the industry and the sector, so they suggested that we just push it back to the next calendar year. And the other sections 12, 13, and 14 simply reflect that change from the original 2015 to 2016. So we have a sunset date that was originally 2025, for instance, now becomes 2026. So those effective dates are changed by 1 year. And that's the entirety of the change.
Thank you very much. I will remove my objection, so please continue with your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We introduced HB 41, Representative Tilton and Representative Munoz jointly, because the original sport fishing guide licensure that existed through December 31st, 2014, sunsetted on that date, and it was not as a result of a policy call by the 28th Alaska Legislature. It was essentially a function of logistics and mechanics. Originally, Senator Meyer and the other body had proposed a piece of legislation during the 28th Legislature that was actually going to do a number of changes to sport fishing licensures that were going to replace the existing system However, that legislation was not passed, and as a result, the sunset date for the original licensure was not changed, and essentially it was an unintended accidental consequence of political dynamics from the 28th Alaska Legislature. We were contacted, both of our offices, and I don't want to speak for Representative Munoz, I'll let Crystal do that, but our offices were contacted by a number of charter groups, and by the way, for the record, I'm going to kind of use charter, sport fishing, and guided recreational interchangeably, but we were contacted by a number of charter fishing groups who thought that the licensure was valuable, and that they thought, yes, ma'am?
I'd like to interrupt you just for one moment to notice that Representative Munoz has joined us. Thank you. Please continue.
Thank you. So, as I said, we were contacted by a number of charter groups that believe the licensure was valuable, that it offered a modicum of consumer confidence, that there was a basic level standard of professionalism within the industry, and felt that there was no reason that the licensure would go away. We started having those conversations, both of our offices respectively, during December 2014, shortly before the sunset date was to go into effect. I had this initial conversation with a number of charter representatives at the December 2014 meeting at the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, where at that time I was still the sport fishing representative on the advisory panel, and told them that if that's in fact what they would want to do, that given our current budgetary situation, it would most likely be necessary to raise those licensure fees to at least cover the cost of the total program. So that, in a nutshell, is really what this does. It reestablishes the licensure that went away, and over the course of two fiscal years, increases the fee structure, essentially doubling it to make it a budget-neutral licensure program. And with that, I will defer to my colleague, Ms. Kienemann, on a number of the fiscal note items.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If the committee wishes, I can go into the fiscal note and budgetary items, or we're available for questions, whatever your preference.
What is the pleasure of the committee? I know we're restrained on time here.
Madam Chair, I'd like to hear the fiscal notes, because I think that's probably the part of this bill we need to look at more closely than anything else.
Please.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. As Heath mentioned, with the new CS and the extension, with the effective dates being moved out an additional year, with this fiscal note in 2016 on the back half, keeping the license fees as they are currently, sport fish operator license would be $100, the sport fish guide license would be $50, and for a combined license, it would be $100. The revenue that's generated from those fees is about $205,000, and that would be collected at the back half of the 2016 fiscal year. Section 2 increases those fees. $150 for the operator license, $75 for the guide, and combined at $150. The revenue generated from those is $308,000, and that, again, is collected at the back half of the 2017 fiscal year. In 2018, the fees are increased to $200 for the operator license, $100 for the guide, and, again, $200 for the combined license. Excuse me. So in 2018 and out years, the collected revenue would be $411.2, and that covers the total operating costs of $382.7. In speaking with the department, because there is additional monies coming in and wanting to make sure that we're not overcharging the user groups, that money would be used for additional customer outreach and customer service. Additionally, it builds in a little bit of a buffer for any salary adjustments that may come in those out years. So it would maintain this program being revenue neutral for years to come, and the hope is when the sunset in 2026 hits that we can reevaluate those if need be.
Thank you. Are there questions from this committee? Seeing none, I will now open this for public testimony, and I would like to suggest that you have 3 minutes. We're limited on time today, and so we're going to limit public testimony to 3 minutes. Do we have any in-house testimony? I see we do. We have Chris Conder from Juneau. Please step forward, have a seat, and identify yourself for the record.
Thank you for having me. My name is Chris Conder. I'm the owner, captain, and chief bottle washer for Rum Runner Charters. We've been in business now in the Juneau area for 25 years. I'm also the vice president of the Juneau Charter Boat Association. You already have a letter from them. I've also been on the AC board, the advisory committee for fishing game, for 15 years, and I just recently resigned from that. We were kind of surprised to see the guide licensing go away. We felt this was a very important thing. It made sure if you came to fishing game as a fishing guide or a captain, you had to have your ducks in a row. You had to have insurance. You had your captain's license. You had every first aid. And the fishing game was able to collect vital information from you. It also got you your logbook. And this, if you haven't ever seen a fishing game logbook, this is the fishing game logbook here. All right. It's a very intense logbook. Actually, it has lots and lots of information in it. For fishing game to use. Having this go away, this was going to still be around, but apparently wasn't going to get paid for by anybody this year. We feel that this is very important. We feel it protected the public. It made sure that they were covered if they were out in the water and their captain was experienced. Under the new fee structure, it's pretty obvious from what she's just talked about that it is revenue neutral. It should get to a point where you're not there. It pays for itself. And I don't think any of the charter boat fleet has a problem with that. The funding, you know, if you needed to reduce it most more, there's two ways I could look at reducing this if you needed to. One, this could be reduced. There's a lot of information in here that I don't think ever gets tabulated. They got assigned three times if they want to fish for a king salmon. There's also federal information in here, for the halibut fishery, and the feds use it. Money should come from the feds to help fund this if we needed to. Those would be my two suggestions on that. On that, I don't really have anything else to tell you. You've got a letter from me in there. You've got a letter from the Juneau Charter Boat Association. You've got a letter from our president of the Charter Boat Association. He couldn't be here today, so I'm kind of in here for him, too. If you have any questions for me, I can try and answer for him. I just urge you to go ahead and support House Bill 41. Get this through and get through soon.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Conder? Yes. Representative Christ Hopkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is it your understanding that there's broad support for this legislation from the charter industry across Alaska beyond the Southeast?
Yes. Southeast, for sure. I know that ACA, the Alaska Charter Boat Association, is behind this. I'm surprised I don't have a letter from them, actually. But I know this is a, you know, I know some people up in the Kenai area probably not for this. They're pushing a different thing. And I would, you did have one. And it wasn't in my pamphlet. Okay, so I assume they're, yeah, okay. So the Kenai guides had a different idea, but that's a small group. I think that problem has gone away this year, being as there are no kinks on the Kenai. So, okay.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the audience that would like to testify? Seeing none, we will go to the LIO. Oh, there is. Please, step forward. Identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom Brookover, Acting Director of Division of Sport Fish with Fish and Game. And I don't want to take up much of your time. I just thought I'd let the committee know that we did support the original licensing bill when it went in about 10 years ago. We supported it for basically the reasons that Mr. Hilliard mentioned. It provided information on guide numbers and their fishing activities, which was either not available at the time or very limited. It established minimum standards to operate as a business or as a guide, and it provided a comprehensive and credible data on the sport fish activities through the Charter Logbook Program. So we continue to support this bill for the same reasons.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. could you explain the carve out in Section 8 for the Kenai area, and why is that important, and do you support it?
Madam Chair, Representative, my understanding of that section is that that provides businesses with a waiver for guides and their requirement to go through the Kenai Guide Academy. There's conditions on when that waiver may be applied, and I don't have a position one way or another on that. I'm not opposed to it. I believe that Department of Natural Resources is affected by that probably more than Fish and Game.
So, Madam Chair, so this with this carve out, it's not appropriate anywhere else in the state?
Madam Chair, Representative, I believe that that provision actually applies to a different set of regulations than these sport fishing guide regulations that we're dealing with here. That I believe that that provision applies to the Kenai River Special Management Area and the Special Management Area alone. So that's a local issue as opposed to the statewide application of the bill before you.
Mr. Hilliard, can you enlighten us a bit on that? Please identify yourself for the record.
Again, Heath Hilliard, staff to Representative Tilton through the chair. Representative Heron, what that particular piece of language does is, in order to guide on the Kenai River, you must pass a certain certification training course. And what this carve-out does is it stipulates that if an operator is to lose a licensed guide on that Kenai River area during the season, that they can hire someone as a substitute for the remainder of the season without forcing that individual to go through the training for that season. It's an option to allow an operator to continue to operate on the Kenai River without stopping because of the loss of a licensed guide. So that's the only reason that is theirs, and I know it might be confusing. You see in one section it adds it in the next section it removes it, and that has to do with the effective date. So the removal in Section 9 is when the sunset date in 2026 occurs. So I hope that answers your question, Representative Heron.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Any other questions? Yes, Reverend.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for Mr. Brookover. Could you speak to the importance of the ADF&G logbook program?
Madam Chair, Representative, absolutely. As I mentioned, it's the guide licensing and reporting statutes that provided us the ability that we've had over the past 10 years to obtain the reporting information that we do through the logbooks. That information has become valuable. Logbook data is one of three primary sources of effort and harvest data we have for the sport fisheries across the state. That data provides the only comprehensive accounting of businesses and guides operating in fresh and salt waters. Prior to the logbooks, we had a registration program where sport fishing businesses and guides would register with the department. We had a lot of businesses and guides that would register with the department and not actively participate in the fisheries, but we didn't have an accounting for what that was. Having the logbook program allowed us to account for the number of active businesses and guides, which was unavailable prior to then. For fisheries where other programs also provide estimates of effort and harvest, logbooks still provide the first available in-season estimates obtainable to the department, and the first available post-season estimates. Other harvest and effort estimate programs take a while to analyze, and the estimates generally aren't available until later in the winter, the following spring, even the following summer, whereas logbook data is available much sooner than that. And in all cases, the logbooks provide more specific information on the businesses and guides and anglers, the time, the area, and the species kept and released compared to other sources of estimates. So it is very important as it relates to the sport fishing business and guides in Alaska.
Thank you.
Did you have a question?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Please.
So when this – thank you, Madam Chair. When this legislation sunset, Did we, excuse me, did we terminate the employment of six people?
Madam Chair, Representative, no. The department saw this coming, so to speak, last summer. And we engaged in discussions with the Board of Fisheries and the Department of Law, and recognizing the importance of the logbook program and accounting for sport fishing and businesses and guides in the state, we undertook an effort to modify our current regulations to allow us to continue the logbook program. The modifications to the regulations made some minor adjustments, like change the word license to register. And those changes also allowed us to implement what we used to have before licensing in terms of a registration program to maintain some base accounting of the number of businesses and guides that were operating in Alaska. So those folks are still and had to, you know, put effort into modifying forms, modifying instructions, and then implementing what will for this year be a registration program and a continuance of the logbook program under the regulations.
So if I interpret that, that means you're pretty much doing the same thing you were doing before, and this won't change that a lot, except you're just changing the name, and because you're already doing the logbooks and stuff. So I guess my question is, why do you need six people?
Madam Chair, we are implementing the registration and logbook programs. The logbook is very similar to the logbook programs that have been in place. And that does take effort. What we're not doing now is what was authorized in the statutes that sunsetted, and that is we're not requiring or collecting fees, we're not requiring or collecting or requiring insurance of businesses. We're not requiring certain other requirements of guides, that they have a first aid certificate, that they hold a Coast Guard operator's license. But as far as the registration and logbook program, those staff are still needed to implement those aspects.
Madam Chair. But you have them now. So why do you need to add six people?
Madam Chair, Representative.
Shifting six, is that you're not adding six people?
Madam Chair, Representative, that's correct.
Do we have any other questions for Mr. Brookover? Did you have something to add? Please identify yourself.
For the record, my name is Crystal Keenum, and staff to Representative Munoz. I was just going to offer some additional points on those six people for Representative Johnson for additional clarity, if you would like.
Madam Chair, I think I'll take it up in the Budget Subcommittee.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a question for Mr. Hilliard or Ms. Keenum, if possible.
Come forward, please, and once again, identify yourself.
Madam Chair, Heath Hilliard, staff to Representative Tilton, Representative Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is 10 years the standard sort of sunset period for licensure bills? Let's say the massage license bill that came through last year, others, is 10 the standard? Sometimes is it longer, sometimes is it shorter?
Madam Chair, Representative Chris Tompkins.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Crystal Keenum and staff to Representative Munoz. It is a policy call. This original program was authorized for 10 years. The licensing programs through Commerce, depending on what the audit recommendations are, and as you were talking about the massage therapists, really it's up to Ledge Audit to determine whether or not they are meeting their program requirements. And they recommend a sunset date. So again, it is a policy call. We base this off of the current program that was for 10 years.
Excuse me, I'd like to make note that Representative Ortiz has joined us. Do we have any other questions for the committee? Okay, then we'll thank you very much, and we'll move on to testimony from the LIO in Kenai. Monty Roberts.
Hi. My name is Monty Roberts. I'm a resident of Soldotna, Alaska, and charter boat operator, guide license holder, and member of the Kenai Soldotna Fish and Game Advisory Committee, sat on the Kenai River Special Management Area Board, but I'm only representing myself today. This guide license bill is, we supported it 10 years ago when the department came to us and said, you know, we've come up with this plan, we want to kind of professionalize the rest of the state. The Kenai River guides have got extensive hurdles above and beyond this that have been in place for many years, so this was nothing new as far as a burden to us, as far as getting licensed, but it added the logbooks, and along with that came some penalties and reporting requirements that became cumbersome. And when we supported it, we really wanted to check it out for the first 10 years, and so we were strongly in favor of the sunset. But getting back to the problems with this bill is it only reports the guide or the client consumption. So when you use the guide logbooks, it has turned into a hammer for the department to say, well, the Kenai River guides are taking this many, but we're only guessing what the public takes on their own and what other user groups take. So it's become a disproportionate tool that they use against us instead of supporting us. We've put in numbers of requests for data from the department, and we have a really hard time getting that data. But when we go to the Board of Fish meetings, they show up, and they've got the data, and they use it to say, well, you know, the guides are taking this many fish. We need to slow them down. So that part of it I'm concerned with. I'm not so much against the whole professionalism of the statewide guide industry, but it's come up with its problems. And then the penalties that were put in the section for violations. So what happens is if say I have a client that accidentally snags a fish and it comes in dead, and I've got a choice at that point. I either let go a dead fish because that's the law, or you retain the dead fish and you're subject to a violation. Well, the client gets charged $130 for that. The guide gets charged with up to a year in jail and a $1,500 fine. So it's very disproportionate into the guide as opposed to the client or a private citizen that would just basically pay the tax for that resource. So we're concerned with that part of it, because especially with the reporting requirements for the logbook a couple years ago, they decided that they were going to issue 400 tickets for logbook violations, and most of those went away, and there was some problems with the department, but we're just concerned with those aspects of it, so we would like to see some amendments made to it and kind of change it. We really support the guide replacement policy. We are the only ones that are required to go through the college course in order to get our license, and they only offer those two times a year. And so if you have an unforeseen circumstance where a guide has a life issue that keeps them from being able to guide, it could put a business out of business just because we're trying to professionalize them, and that's what that guide replacement policy is for. So I would just like to see some replacement language, maybe some evening up of the penalties, and then I could support this. But as it is, I'd have to oppose it.
Okay, I appreciate your testimony, and thank you. And we're going to take a briefie. I'm going to ask now if we have any questions, any other questions from this committee. And I do.
And
I'd like to close public testimony first. There we go. Now I'd like to ask the committee, and I would like to have Mr. Hilliard come up, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, Heath Hilliard, staff to Representative Kathy Tilton.
Let me ask my question.
Yes,
please.
Yes, ma'am.
I was, when the last gentleman from Soldotna was speaking, he was talking about a section in here on penalties, and I didn't seem to see it in this bill. Am I overlooking it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, you're not. There is no reference to the penalties in this particular bill. Now, if you look at the overall body of statute that pertains to the sport fishing guide licensure and all of the roles and responsibilities, et cetera, that pertain to it, yes, there's reference to penalties for certain types of fishing violations. So that does exist, but it's not in this bill. All we are doing was reestablishing the licensure itself. This bill does not attempt to address penalties. Issues that were brought up by the gentleman I have heard before in my previous capacity representing the charter industry. I'm familiar with them, but they are in no way directly related to this bill.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Yes, Representative Ortiz.
Mr. Hilliard, my question is not directly related to HB 41. I did receive comments from constituents around the area of licensing for charter folks, and these people were proponents of the idea of limited entry for charter. Do you have any thoughts on that? As a way, first of all, maybe to better collect data for fish and game, but also, you know, limited entry. Anyway, what do you think about limited entry?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, my understanding is there's some, with regard to the state, there's some difficulty in doing a true direct limited entry. However, with regard to specifically the halibut fishery, there is essentially a limited entry provision through what is called the Charter Halibut Permit, which is issued by the National Marine Fisheries Service. Currently, there are a number of what we're calling latent permits that exist in the marketplace in the fishery that people possess them, but they're not actively fishing them. And given the abundance concerns that the fisheries managers are facing with regard to the halibut resource, there has been some discussion amongst the industry about trying to retire those latent permits and eliminate them from the marketplace. So I know that during late 90s through mid-2000s, there was in certain areas, especially in Southeast, an explosive growth of the charter fleet. And this licensure, along with the charter halibut permit, has been sort of an end-around to a true limited entry approach. But, yes, there was. We are active. I'm referring back to my previous position. In my previous capacity representing the charter industry, we were actively trying to put some constraints on the fleet. It was better for the resource, better for the operators, and better for the clients. So, Madam Chair, I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for the sponsor of this bill? May I then have a motion to move H?
Before I have to get back to the fiscal note. I think, Madam Chair, if I might.
Certainly.
I think if it's revenue neutral, I'm not sure we shouldn't zero out this fiscal note. But I think that I see that it goes to finance next. I'm assuming the sponsor is going to take care of that. But for the record, I'm not comfortable with sending a bill out that has, this kind of fiscal note on it. But I think that it will be taken care of in finance. So I am not going to object to moving this. But I think that that is not an accurate fiscal note if it only reflects the expenses and not necessarily the revenue generated. So I want to, I'd be happy to move it now with having made that comment. It's your pleasure.
Thank you.
So, Madam Chair, I'd move CS for HB 41 with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations out of committee.
Do we have any objection? from this committee? Hearing none, HB 41 passes from this committee. Do I go through there?
I don't know. Brief it is.
Brief it is.
Move this bill out of committee. Just ask for objections.
Is there any objections?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move CS for HB 41 with attached physical note and forthcoming physical note with individual recommendations.
Out of committee.
Out of committee, yes, ma'am.
Do I hear any objections? Then this note with the forthcoming physical note moves out of this committee. Thank you. This committee will meet again on Tuesday, February 17th. We will have a hearing presentation by the University of Alaska's Kodiak Fish Research Center. Should be interesting. Hope everybody joins us. There's no further business of this committee. We will adjourn at 10:42.